This is slightly unusual in that I've already gone through these notes with the eldership team, and then after I'd done that, I went through them with the leadership team, because this is about Grace Church. It's about who we, not quite that bit yet, but who we are and why we're here. Who are we and why are we here? Why are we here as a church? What are we doing here? What is the point? What is our purpose? What is our overriding purpose as a church here in Bromsgrove? So you will have often heard people refer to something like that as vision. Okay, that's the word we use in the church, vision. That's our vision, our what we're looking forward to. What are we doing here? And so what I want to do is paint a picture today of why we're here. So firstly, if you were to catch a bus, it wouldn't look like that now, but if you were to catch a bus, one of the things you do as it approaches you is you look at what's written on the front. You look at the destination. And if the destination is where you're going, you get on and you go with it. If it's not, you wait for the next one to see if it is. Now, someone once described to me the vision of the church like that. We need to know where we're heading. What's our destination? So that when people come along, they can say, yes, I'm going there too. Let's do this together. And that's why we have a membership as a church, is we say, this is where we're going. Are you with us? Yes, you are. Great. We're doing this together. That's all that means in terms of membership. It's a commitment to one another to do this together. Now, we all know that, you know, we want to glorify God. We want to build an authentic, spirit-filled community. And we want to reach out to others here and to the ends of the earth. And we've written that down in various forms all the time that we've been here as a church, which has been almost 10 years now. But what is it we are here for? What is our distinctive as a church? What is the destination on the front of our bus? Well, this afternoon, that is what I'm going to tell you. Now, in some ways, this is long overdue. But God's timing is perfect in everything. In absolutely everything. And today, I want to be crystal clear on what we as a church are here for, what we're going for, and what we're doing. And as a consequence, what everything else that we do, whatever that happens to be, that we do under the banner of Grace Church, everything needs to line up with this. Now, as I go through this, it will be obvious that not everything does. And that is the work that we have before us, to line everything up with this. Now, this today is just the overview. Okay? So imagine a painting. Okay? I'm going to paint a painting. Now, I can't paint paintings. Okay? It's not my thing. I know someone here who is a gloriously, wonderfully gifted artist. Aren't you, Karen? Yes, you are. So you'll understand what I'm talking about now, more than most, okay? But actually, here's what I'm going to do today. I'm not going to paint the whole painting today. Today, what you'll get is just the pencil sketch of an outline. And then as we go forward, over the coming weeks, months, and years, it is down to all of us to fill in the colour, the detail, and the texture of the painting that is Grace Church and what we're here for. So all you're getting today is the pencil sketch to say, look, guys, this is what it looks like. Now let's fill that in together and make it look glorious together. Now as I looked at this and I looked at all of this, there was a passage of scripture that I just could not get away from. And that was Isaiah 61. The whole chapter, verses 1 to 11. I'm going to read it. It's going to be on the screen as well as I go through it. I'm going to read that through, and then I'm going to show you what this means in relation to us as a church and the way we go forward. So Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 to 11. It's the whole chapter. It says this, as we know, some of it's been read out already, but I'm going to read it all out now. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and tend your flocks. Foreigners shall be your ploughmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be called the priests of the Lord. They shall speak of you as the ministers of our God. You shall eat the wealth of the nations, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, there will be a double portion. Instead of dishonor, they shall rejoice in their lot. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess a double portion. They shall have everlasting joy. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their offspring shall be known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are an offspring the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. That is a glorious passage of Scripture. It's moving, it's full of hope, but it's also full of purpose. So what does this mean for us as a church together? Well, I believe this shows us what we are here for. And I'm going to make one statement of what we are here for, and then the rest is going to be the kind of church we need to be for that. What does this mean for us? It means we're to preach good news to the poor. That's it. That's our purpose. That is why we are here. That is what we should be doing. We are here to see many people come into God's kingdom. Now remember, this is what we are to be. I'm not saying we are this all already. This is what I believe God has got for us as we go forward. Forget for a minute all of the separate things we do as a church. This is our overarching purpose. But what does it mean to preach good news to the poor? Who are the poor in this passage? Who are they in our context? Well, in this passage, it was referring to the Jews, the Israelites. They were in exile. They were out of their land. They were alienated. They were downtrodden. They had no hope. They had been humbled, afflicted. They had broken hearts. That is who this was addressing. So who is that for us? Well, obviously, the materially poor, but also the downtrodden, the brokenhearted. In the end, those who are in exile. Who's in exile? All of us. We were all exiled. We were all thrown out of the Garden of Eden in Adam. So Adam was thrown out, Adam and Eve thrown out of the Garden of Eden. Why? Because they rebelled against God. They were exiled from then on. So we have all faced exile. But actually, it was Jesus that came to redeem us, to buy us back, to bring us out of exile. That is what the Jews in this passage were waiting for. Actually, we know the fulfillment of that. So actually, biblically speaking, everyone has been exiled. So no one is excluded. So when we preach good news to the poor, actually that doesn't exclude anyone. It includes everyone. Yet the gospel does seem to have a bias towards the materially poor, those whom no one else is helping, those with no hope anywhere. It doesn't exclude anyone, but it has a bias to those who can't help themselves, who can't go any other way, who are materially poor, who are broken, who are downtrodden. Guys, that's who we need to be reaching out to. That's what we're here for. We've had some of that going on, but not enough. It's what we've got to do. So our purpose here is to preach the good news to the poor. Scatter the seed widely and see the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Oh, sorry, I've jumped in my notes. Scatter the seed widely and see many come into God's kingdom, but we need to do it with a bias towards the poor. Because when you look at those who are poor, who else is going to give them hope? And I'm not, please don't hear me wrong, I'm not making any political statements here this afternoon, okay? None at all. Really, I'm not. I'm not going down that path. But actually, irrespective of politics, who's going to help the poor? Many people will say it. Who's going to do it? Maybe we've said it. Have we done it? Probably not. Not in the way we need to. Not in the way we should. Not in the way that I believe God is calling us to. That is our purpose. So, if that's our purpose, what kind of church are we bringing people into? So we're going to reach out and preach good news to the poor. What are we bringing them to? And again, don't hear me wrong. I'm not saying, because I've got a lot of friends who are not materially poor, but they're destitute spiritually. We're reaching them as well. Okay, don't get me wrong. But actually, we have to have the same bias as the gospel. That is what I'm saying. So what are they being brought into? Well, I've got six statements here. Now, on the here, I'm putting full of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I'm going to be referring to this in terms of our vision as a church. I'm going to be saying we need to be full of the Holy Spirit. But the first heading I gave this section was, we are not a people of the 10 days. Now, to some of you, that might mean something. And to some of you, you might think, I have no idea what you're talking about. Right at the beginning of planting the church, we had a prophetic word over us by a guy called Andrew Davis. And you will have heard us quote part of this word many times. And that part of the word that you will have heard quoted is, through our food and enjoyment together, we'll see many people coming to the kingdom. But there's a part of that prophetic word that we don't often repeat and we've glossed over. And part of that prophetic word was, Grace Church, you are not a people of the 10 days. What did he mean by that? Well, he just preached about the time between Jesus ascending into heaven after his crucifixion, after his ascension, and the time when the Holy Spirit came. That was a 10-day period. And what he was saying in that word was, you're not a people of that 10 days. You're a people full of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's to be said for every church. Every church should be that. But I believe God was calling us, and I'm passionate about this. God was calling us to be a people full of the Holy Spirit. We are a charismatic church, and that does not mean we put our hands in the air and we clap and we sing upbeat songs. If that's all it is, forget it. That is not charismatic. That's just a bit happy. That's a byproduct, maybe. Okay? We are to be a church that are full of the Holy Spirit, where the gifts of the Holy Spirit are in constant and consistent operation. We are unashamedly charismatic, okay? The gifts of the Spirit did not end at the end of the New Testament. Yeah, and that is what we teach, and that is who we are. Yes. And we must not forget it.
Yes.
Many of us here will have grown up in churches, and I did, where people were discovering this again, the things of the Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I saw churches torn apart by this, where some would go, no, I'm not doing it. And it all got really unpleasant at times. But people said, no, we need to fight for this because it's the Bible. It is the truth. We must not go back on that. We must not let that slip. We are not a people of the 10 days, and we will fight for the charismatic. We will fight for the gifts of the Spirit. We will fight for baptism in the Spirit. We will have that in this church.
Yes.
That is a statement of intent. And I'm passionate about that because I saw what it did to people in going through that for us to regain that and have that as part of our day-to-day experience. And I don't want to have to see us as a church have to go through that again. So we need to be on track with that. And that means being in the presence of God, pursuing the presence of God. It's not just about the gift, it's about knowing the manifest presence of God with us through His Spirit. We will pursue the presence of God in this place. And whether that's here, physically, in our homes, whether that's in our life groups, when we pray together, across the board. Okay, it's not just here. So, we're not a people of the 10 days. We are full of the Holy Spirit. The next one. I'm still confused as to what time we finish. Now we've changed the times. 15:15, I'm all right. This church will be a place of restoration and healing. Come on. Okay? That is who we want to be. We had another prophetic word, and I'm going to tie in lots of prophetic words that we've had over the years with this, okay? We had another prophetic word that said, we are like a military hospital. And a military hospital, I'm no expert in this, but I'm told, it gets people in, it patches them up, and if they're ready to go out on active service again, out they go. It's not a place where there's bed blocking, okay? That's not in my notes, I just thought of that. There's no bed blocking in this hospital, okay? We are to be a place of restoration and healing. And that's for people who are here now, who are Christians, who need restoring and healing. But also it's for those who come in. Yes. We want to see people restored and healed from the world out there, from the lies they're being told, from the way they're being cheated and scammed and all the rest of it. There's restoration and healing. And if it's not in the church, then there's no hope for our society. It's got to be here. We've got to be like that. We have to be like that. And actually, as Felicity brought from Isaiah 58, I think it was Felicity that said that, wasn't it? That actually, when we see the light, and our greatest means of healing is actually going for the purposes of God. Yes. So actually, I think, in Christian circles now, there's a big focus on restoration and healing. We get restored and we have counselling. And I'm not saying that's wrong in any way. But there tends to be this, you know, I just need to get myself right first. Actually, no. In going and serving God's purposes, in reaching out to the poor, in seeing all this happen, you will find restoration and healing.
Yes, that's right.
You won't find restoration and healing sitting down with your feet up. It's not going to happen. And it's a shame, yeah, I know. We need to be out there. This life is short. The time for us to just relax and put our feet up is the rest of eternity. We are here for a purpose, so we take as many people with us as possible.
Yes.
And so we need to be out there. We need to be doing it, whatever doing it means, and we'll explore that as we go forward over the next weeks and months. But actually, let's not be a people that go, I just need time out because I need healing. Actually, we do need healing, but we're going to find that as we go.
Yes, very good.
So we're a military hospital, and that was prophetically stated over us in the early days. Okay, and this is in Isaiah 61, and I know I'm not referring back to that, but as you read it, you'll see that restoration and healing is in there. What's also in there is praise and gladness. We need to be a place of praise and gladness.
Yes, come on.
Jesus has saved you, and yes, you are no longer going to hell.
Woo-hoo!
There's something to smile about.
Yes. Come on.
It is, though, isn't it? Yes. We need to. Oh, I will be in Aldi tomorrow morning, and I need to display this when I'm out doing my shopping. Not just here. It's easy here. I'm fired up for this here, but am I fired up for it when I smile at the person on the checkout? Or am I going to be praising gladness? Monday morning, I can't wait to get rid of this. No, every minute is precious. We watched a film last night, actually, nothing to do with this particularly, but that one of the people in the film was just saying, you've got to take every moment and wring every bit of life out of every moment. There's got to be praise and gladness. We've been given a garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. Do you feel like you've got a faint spirit? If you do, then you're not wearing your garment of praise. Actually, when we praise God, that's what gives us the strength. That's what lifts us. We will have courageous spirits instead of faint ones. We will do that by encouraging one another, by being together. We come together in our life groups, in our prayer times, on a Sunday like this, to be there for one another, encourage one another, to inspire praise in one another, in terms of saying, come on, let's do it together. This is a together thing. Okay, this is, we're not on our own with this. It doesn't matter how old you are or young you are, you have been given a garment of praise. And it turns our spirits from faint to courageous. Being together has a restorative effect. Okay, next one. This needs to be a place of encouragement. Because if you're not getting encouragement from your brothers and sisters in Christ, then you're not going to get it anywhere else. We're not, are we? This needs to be a place where we encourage one another, where we build one another up. When someone says something about someone or someone does something, let's think the best of it first. So when someone does something, you think, oh, why did they do that? If there are two reasons, and one's a good one and one's a bad one, think the good one first until you know otherwise. Let's think the best of one another. Let's encourage one another. Let's be building one another up. Let's be making sure that we're always promoting other people, not bringing people down. The world brings people down to make people in the world bring others down to make them look better, don't they? Actually, let's lift people up, because if we're doing it to others, others will be doing it to us. And actually, we all get encouraged together. We need to be a people who are deeply rooted in the Word of God. Yes, or as I put there, deeply rooted in God and His Word. Yes, there is no substitute for reading the Bible. Absolutely. One of the distinctives of the family of churches that we belong to, the wider family of New Frontiers, has always been to promote Word and Spirit. We are a people rooted in the Word of God. Yes. We will not stray from the Bible. So what kind of church are we when people come in? I want people to know that we love the Bible. Yes, that we believe it is God's inerrant Word. Yes, it is exactly what God intended us to have. Yes. And that is what we'll live by. Yes. And that is what we'll live our lives by and we'll live by as a church. Yes. That is what shapes us and what guides us.
Yes.
When people bring prophetic words, we love that and we'll check. Is it in line with the Bible? Yes, it is. Great, let's go for it.
Yes.
No, it's not. Okay, let's put that to one side. But encourage people to keep on using their gift and growing in it. We'll be a people who are deeply rooted in the Word of God. And in doing that, we become deeply rooted in God. One of the illustrations that the New Testament uses about Christians who are not mature is that they get tossed to and fro by waves and wind. The storms come and it knocks them flat. Actually, if we're deeply rooted in the Word of God, then it doesn't do that. Of course, these things all have implications. In saying this, we now have to be like this. We've got to do this. So when I say we're deeply rooted in the Word of God, that doesn't mean that the preaching on a Sunday has to be complicated and hard to understand. Actually, if we're reaching out to the poor, if we're reaching out to people who are coming here, it needs to be straightforward. It needs to be simple. But that doesn't mean it's not deep and profound. Because actually, for us who are mature believers, a mature believer is easily edified. You've heard that before, haven't you? Actually, one verse just stated, a mature believer goes, that'll do me for the week, thank you very much. You don't have to explain. I will meditate on that. Because I've spent years like that. We can do that, can't we? Because we know the Word of God. Actually, we will have people with us who don't know the Word of God. They don't know the stories that we know. And actually, we haven't served them well in saying, do you know what? We need to tell this easily. People need to understand. And if that becomes a bit... If we sit here as mature believers and go, do you know what? It was just a bit easy. Well, good. Then go deeper in the week. Because you can feed yourself.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. When my children were babies, they were spoon-fed. And it was mushy food. They didn't have to chew. It went down easily. It was good for them and they grew. And as they grew, we taught them to eat solid food. And we taught them to feed themselves. Guys, most of us here can feed ourselves. But there are others we need to spoon-feed. Yes. And we have to be mature enough and humble enough to know that has to become an overriding purpose for us in the way we teach the word here. We've got to do that. We've got to do that. So we're deeply rooted in the word of God. And then, I think it's in verse 11 of Isaiah 61, it talks about fertile ground, a place where there's growth. And that's the, fertile ground for growth. This church needs to be fertile ground for growth. A little while ago, Gordon brought a word, prophetic word about a garden. You see, I wanted to weave as much of the prophetic into this as possible, about a garden. And actually, the garden can get overgrown. And this is some of what Jared brought and Helen brought and others brought, I'm forgetting now already, but some of those words we had about, you know, and Gordon's word was talking about this garden, and a garden should be a beautiful place. My garden at home isn't. My garden is more like the bad place where it's all overgrown, there's brambles and weeds. Actually, the weeding needs to be done constantly and consistently, and we need to do that in our lives so there can be fertile ground for the right stuff to grow. We need to do that as a church. Get away with the bad practices and the habits we've fallen into and the things that we do that don't line up with our vision, which is this. Okay, as a church, this is where we're going. This is what we're doing. And we're going to make no apologies for it. That's where we're going. We're going to make the changes we need to line everything up with it. And that is where we're going to go. And it means doing the weeding. But Gordon's picture went on to say when it's been weeded and the right things are growing, it becomes a beautiful place, like a park that has lovely plants that you can stroll around, that you meet people in, that becomes a joy to be in. When we meet with one another, it should be a joy. We should cause one another to grow. It should be a fertile ground for us to grow as individuals, but actually for multiplication of growth. For others to grow, for the church to grow. Yes. We will be a vibrant and diverse, spirit-filled, missional community with a bias to reaching the poor. Yes. No one else will have that bias. We're here for everyone, but we will lean that way. That is who we are as a church. That is who we need to become as a church. That's our vision. That's the sketch. That's the outline. What we now need to do is start filling in the detail, the colour, the texture, the subtleties, the things that are going to paint something that's going to bring so much glory to God. It's not going to be easy. There's going to be some bumps along the way. There have been bumps for me already in getting to the place where I'm ready to do this and speak about this. I'm not here yet in everything. I'm not doing all this well, all right. This is going to be a journey that we go on together. So what we're going to do is this. Over the coming weeks, I'm going to break each one of these down and speak about them. So I'm going to speak about being full of the Spirit. We're going to spend some time. We'll pray for each. Let's pray for one another. Let's pray for gifts. We're going to spend some time teaching on the Holy Spirit in this. We've done it before and we will do it again. And we're going to talk about preaching good news to the poor. What does that look like? What does that look like in our lives? What changes do I need to make for me to be doing that? I need to make changes. Okay, I'm going to be totally honest with you. I need to make changes in my life so I can be doing that. I think we probably all can see where we need to change. And then we'll speak about restoration and healing. We'll speak about praise and gladness. We're going to speak about all of those things over the coming weeks and months. We're going to expand on those. And then as a leadership team, what we're going to be doing as we meet from January, we're going to be looking at all the different areas of the church, saying, how does that line up and where does it need to change to line up with this? So not everything will straight away, but we just felt the timing was right to say, guys, we do have a purpose. We do have a vision. It's taken us a while to get to this, but this is where we are and this is where we're going. So that is us. That is who we are. That is where we're going.